Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
Okay, I'm so happy to introduce Dr. Ila Menga. She is an integrative medical doctor, author, speaker, facilitator, and a leading voice in the field of mind-body medicine and wellness. This talk will focus on how to access the vast range of breathing techniques through a practical format of awareness, regulation, and transformation, making them simple to understand and apply for everyday life. Also about questions, if you have any questions during this session, you can type them in the Q&A box. And if there's a question, first check to see if there's a question that you wanted to ask that was already typed in, and you can upvote it, and I will present it to Dr. Ila Menga at the right moment. And if you have any technical questions, you can type them in the chat box privately to Yulia, our tech support host. All right, so the mic is yours, Dr. Ila Menga. Thank you. Oh, you're still muted. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, yeah, I am.
There you go.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here. And thank you, everybody, for joining me here today. I'd like to invite you on a journey, tracking the path of a molecule of oxygen as it travels from the atmosphere and into your body, where air becomes breath. So let's be with this molecule of oxygen now, just feeling it at the tip of your nose and imagining it moving down the back of your throat and into your trachea, into your bronchial tree, and right down into the air sacs of your alveoli. And there it moves into the beautiful microcapillaries that surround every air sac. And from these microcapillaries, this oxygenated blood gets sent to the heart. And from the pump of the heart is then released to every cell of the body. But this is not the final destination, because through a complex conversation of oxygen and carbon dioxide and nitric oxide, the doors of the cell membrane open to invite this oxygen molecule to its final destination, the mitochondria. And it is here, in this miraculous microorgan, that a biochemical alchemy occurs that transforms this oxygen into a unit of energy that sustains all life. Now, isn't it incredible that here in the mitochondria lies a set of DNA that is different from the DNA in our nucleus? And it it's in this mitochondria that this DNA is inherited from our maternal line. Geneticists have now tracked this DNA back to its origins, to a single woman, the mitochondrial Eve, that lived in Africa 150,000 years ago. And if geneticists are right, all of humanity is linked to her in an unbroken chain of mothers. So all the shades and the shapes of humans are able to trace their ancestry back to the African continent, and in fact, very close to the place I live and work, in the cradle of humankind. Africa is also birthplace to a powerful shaman, scholar, and seer by the name of a man by the name of Credo Mutwa, who in fact transitioned into spirit a day before South Africa went into lockdown. And Baba Credo Mutwa describes the time when he was a child and he was trained by his grandfather in the tools of divination. And his grandfather taught him the art of breathing, a quiet, soft breath, a meditative breath. And when he was trained to quieten his breath down to a very gentle rhythm, he experienced a rising up of energy that his grandfather described as a snake moving up the spine all the way to the top of the head. And the Zulu word for this energy is umbilini, very similar to the word kundalini that many of us are familiar with from yogic texts. And isn't it incredible that through language, humanity finds our interconnectedness? But we also find our interconnectedness through the universal language of the breath. So practicing as a medical doctor in South Africa has offered me a very broad perspective of the vast landscape of human afflictions, from people whose lungs have been ravaged by asbestos poisoning from the mines, to those whose lungs have been damaged by TB, to those who have held so much trauma from our past and still live with a state of hypervigilance. Breath has a huge role to play. And so I have been asking myself the question, how to simplify the vast repertoire of breathwork modalities and skills that are available to us now, that have been offered to us by ancient wisdom traditions and practices, and that have now come to light through science and technology. And so now we have available to us these practices, but also an understanding scientifically of how this all works. And so I was really curious around how to bring all of this information together in a way that is really practical and simple for anybody to have access to. And so we came up with a framework of techniques called the art of breathing. And I've spoken about this over the last 2 years in other talks too, but I thought it's really helpful to kind of unpack what this framework is about and how to engage with all these breathwork tools that are available to us already. And so the Art of Breathwork framework really looks at the, like I said, the tools available to us, and in understanding the effect on our neurobiological system, we can place them in this broad category. And so the ART is an acronym for awareness, regulation, and transformation. And the basis of any breathwork practice is, of course, simply breath awareness. And breath awareness in itself can be the foundation for mindfulness, but also when we become aware of our breath, it offers us an opportunity to become aware of our thoughts, our feelings, our bodies. And so then breath awareness is a powerful embodiment practice in itself. And in fact, can be as transformative as the more dynamic practices. And then we look at the realm of breathing for regulation. And so if we look at the practices that are offered to us from traditional practices like yoga, we can kind of put these techniques into a broad framework of understanding that they have an effect on our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And we can find balance by using these techniques. And there are certain practices that are more energizing, there are certain practices that are more cooling, and there are certain practices that are balancing. And so through our scientific inquiry of these techniques, we are then able to understand which techniques offer what experience. And so we can work with it more skillfully and integrate it in a really practical and simple way into our everyday life. So let me give you an example of the regulation framework. So regulation, there are practices for energy, as I said. Energizing practices are practices like breath of fire that many of us know from yoga, or what we know as bellow breath, Kapalabhati. We also know of the more modern Wim Hof techniques, which are also very energizing and very dynamic, that offer us an energetic experience. So these are examples of energizing practices. Energizing when we're actually practicing them. However, it can bring a feeling of deep relaxation. We also use 20 connected breaths, which is a mini version of the transformative conscious connected breathing that some of us are familiar with. And we can use that as a standalone practice in the energy column, for lack of a better word. Okay, so that gives us an idea of these energizing practices that when we're practicing them, consciously activate the body's sympathetic nervous system, but in a very directed and deliberate and conscious way. And often when we use these energizing practices, it helps the body to release kind of pent up energy that we often experience as anxiety. Then we also have a whole range of relaxing practices. And these are practices that work specifically with the parasympathetic nervous system to bring cooling and calming to the system. And these are practices that focus more on the exhalation, because we know that the exhale activates the parasympathetic nervous system. And so these would be practices like humming bee breath, or the 4-7-8 technique, breathing in for a count of four, pausing for a count of seven, and then exhaling for a count of eight. This is a practice that has been popularized by Dr. Andrew Weil, who's also an integrative medical practitioner, and he advocates this technique to help with insomnia, and this has been very effective. Okay, so we also have other practices, very simple ones, like simply inhaling for a count of four and exhaling for a count of eight, breathing through the nose. So doubling the time that we spend on the exhale activates the body's vagus nerve, which then in turn brings a sense of calm through the parasympathetic nervous system. So we're getting a sense now that we are able to play around with different ways of breathing, the inhale and exhale, breathing in various ways, in creative ways, to experience different states. And in general, when we focus on the inhale, it is more energizing. When we focus on the exhale, it is more calming and relaxing. Okay, so we've spoken about energizing practices. We've spoken about relaxing practices. And we also have practices that are balancing. And so this is when we find a balance between the inhale and the exhale, which offers us a sense of coherence or offers a heart-coherent state in the body-mind system. And examples of balancing techniques would be coherent breathing. Many of us are familiar with this practice that has been used extensively in trauma work, but also to build resilience into the system. And Dr. Pat Gerbach and her husband have been using this technique extensively. Dr. Richard Brown, his husband's name, have been using this work extensively in trauma work. And the Institute of Heart Math has also investigated this technique at length. Another balancing practice that some of you may be familiar with from yoga is alternate nostril breathing. Okay, so in general, any practice that balances the inhale and exhale will offer a sense of calm and coherence in the system. So these regulation techniques are really useful to integrate into our daily life and to use them to support whatever we may be engaged in. So we can use them before a meeting, for example, or when we're feeling particularly anxious, or to help us to fall asleep at night, or to help us to wake up in the morning. And so the idea is then to make these techniques a part of your daily life rather than something that requires a special time or a special place. And then we move to the T of the art, and these are techniques for transformation. And so the techniques that fall into this realm are traditional rebirthing, or what has stemmed from traditional rebirthing, conscious connected breathing, and holotropic breathwork. And these are incredibly powerful techniques that require a trained facilitator because they are deeply cathartic and they offer access to the subconscious mind and the patterning that exists here. But the power of these techniques for transformation and healing are really life-changing. It also helps us to free up the breathing mechanism, which then allows us to practice the regulation techniques in a more skillful way. So the art of breathing framework is just a really helpful tool if you are a breathwork practitioner to work with your clients, or whether you are new to breathwork and you would like to kind of understand how to practically use these techniques. It's really a helpful framework, and you can access more about the art of breathing through my website and through my YouTube channel. So another framework that I'd like to share with you today, not so much a framework as a guide to your personal breathwork journey. And so whether you are new to breathwork and you don't know where to start because there's just so much out there, or whether you are a practitioner and you would like to support your clients or your patients to embark on a breathwork journey, I'd like to share with you a pathway, perhaps, that would perhaps be really practical as a starting point. So let's begin with step one. And as I've mentioned, I think it's really important before we embark on using any particular practices that we cultivate a relationship with our breath. And just to come alive to it, to notice it in our everyday life circumstances. And it's through our simple breath awareness that we become aware of our reactions, our triggers, how we are relating to others. We become aware of our habitual thinking patterns. We become aware of our bodies. We become aware of what our bodies may be communicating to us. And it's through breath awareness that we might become aware of a way of breathing that perhaps is not quite serving our energy, or is not quite serving us to be optimal in terms of our the way we're showing up in our lives. And so step one then is to free up patterns of breathing that are suboptimal, that we build up over time, that are influenced by so many factors, and sometimes factors that exist even before we were born, factors that are related to our birth experience, factors that are related to our conditioning, our environment, our posture. All of these influences, will shape the way that we are breathing, and in some way create tension in our body-mind system. And when we experience a particular trauma, our breathing reflects that in a certain way. And sometimes this pattern can get locked into the system and then become a habitual breathing pattern. So before we even engage in any particular technique, it's really important to free up the breath again and to re-pattern the breath so that we are getting back to breathing basics. Okay, so what are these breathing basics? And so I'm going to share with you some typical patterns that I see showing up in my practice. And the first is a habitual breathing through the mouth. Now, mouth breathing really has come to our awareness through the work of James Nestor in his book, Breath, A New Science of a Lost Art, and through the work of Patrick McEwen in his book, The Oxygen Advantage, which is based on the Buteyko method. And this really highlights how it is so common for us to overbreathe when we're breathing through the mouth. And there are so many reasons that we are habitually breathing through the mouth without even realizing it. And this has to do with the changing shape of our jaw. It has to do with the fact that we have become almost addicted to this adrenalized energy, which then gets reflected in the way we breathe. And so habitual mouth breathing has become almost normal in a way. We become habituated to this way of breathing without realizing the effect that it's having on the body-mind system. Because when we are constantly breathing through the mouth, we are sending messages unconsciously from the body back to the brain. So the breath is a language that is constantly feeding information from the body back to the brain. And so this breathing through the mouth habit is, in a way, feeding this what we call sympathetic overdrive or chronic adrenalized energy, and maybe feeding this kind of chronic anxiety that we're sitting with individually and collectively, or certainly it has an impact on it or adds to it. So mouth breathing is something we need to become aware of and to train ourselves to breathe through the nose in everyday life, because the nose is designed to filter the air, warm it, humidify it, and prepare it to be absorbed by the delicate tissues of the alveoli. And even practice breathing through the nose when it feels counterintuitive when you're exercising. So there's so much information on nose breathing and the effects of chronic mouth breathing. And I really encourage you to read this book, The Breath by James Nestor, and also the work of Patrick McEwen. The second common dysfunctional or suboptimal breathing pattern that I see in my practice is a restricted diaphragm. Now, the diaphragm is a miraculous, incredible muscle that is parachute-shaped and is actually where breathing begins. So our breath begins when the diaphragm contracts and it flattens, creating a vacuum, allowing breath to be drawn in from the outside atmosphere into the lungs. And when we exhale, the diaphragm relaxes, moves back to its dome shape, and the belly relaxes. So to get a sense if your diaphragm is moving effectively, could just place a hand on your belly and notice where you're experiencing movement. As we inhale, the belly rises, and as we exhale, the belly relaxes. And this is just one way to feel if the diaphragm is actually working as it should be. Most of us have diaphragms that are not working effectively. And so it is important to kind of train it and practice our diaphragm to open up. And very often this requires body work. It requires us to come back to our body, to create space, to open up our rib cage, to mobilize the spine again, because the diaphragm is also attached to the spine. And so just because of our postures, and especially at this time where we are all crouching over our laptops and, you know, our posture is forward bent, it restricts the movement of the spine and thus restricts the movement of the diaphragm. And there are various exercises that can support the release and the freedom of the diaphragm. And so I encourage you then to look at the work of Dr. Belisa Franich. And her book is called Breathing for Warriors. And she has a specific measurement for looking at how free and open your diaphragm is, and practices to help you to free it. But in general, a very basic practice is just simply to lie on your back with your knees bent and to place a heavy book on your belly and to practice moving the book up on the inhale and to bring it down slowly on the exhale. And this just gives you a sense of how the diaphragm should be moving. Also, another awareness is to feel the ribcage moving from side to side. So an expansive feeling of the diaphragm, or rather the ribcage moving from side to side on the inhale. So breathing through the nose and then releasing the diaphragm, these are part of freeing the breath mechanism. It's really interesting that practices like conscious connected breathing or transformative breathing practices help us to free up the breathing mechanism and the patterns that may be related to past trauma or emotional factors. And just to be facilitated or to have a session that is guided by a trained facilitator is able to free these patterns so that you are able to practice these other techniques in a more skillful way. So you're getting the idea that it's not just the technique that's important, but it is the way that we are engaging with the technique. So for example, we can be doing alternate nostril breathing, a coherent breathing, by using so much tension in the neck and shoulders. And then in that case, we wouldn't be getting the real benefit from breathing. And it's really then important to come back to the basics of freeing up the diaphragm and mobilizing the spine, creating the sense of softness and surrender when we are engaged with these practices. So that's the entry level as we start to move into our journey of breathwork. And it's then we can engage with other practices of the regulation techniques in level 2. And here we can get skilled with refining these practices, whether it is alternate nostril breathing, whether it is coherent breathing, we can start to build up our repertoire of skills. And we can even get creative and make up our own listening to the wisdom of our bodies. So this is step 2, when we can learn to integrate these practices into our everyday life, that the breath becomes a support in whatever activities we are engaged with. Then we can progress to the next level, or level 3. And it's here that we are learning to expand our capacity to hold a higher charge of energy on one level. Okay, so we are able to build our capacity to relax within intensity. And we are also moving in the other direction of training deep relaxation into the system. And this is the way that we build resilience into our body-mind system. So we are toning our autonomic nervous system, that we are able to hold a higher charge of energy without going into panic or overwhelm. And in the other direction, we are able to train ourselves to be deeply relaxed and aware at the same time. So for example, a practice like yoga nidra is really powerful to train awareness of relaxation. And so by expanding our ability to hold different energy states, we are then able to show up in life in a different way, in a way that we have more equanimity, that we use the breath to relax into our still point, and we're able to reach into the intensity of the world, but from a different place. And then, you know, once we can work with these various techniques and expanding our repertoire of skills, and we're using these techniques to experience a high state of energy or deep relaxation, we may then feel inspired to use these practices in more specialized ways. And so we're seeing all these specializations in breathwork starting to pop up. And so we're seeing it in the world of sports performance, where sportsmen are using specific breathing practices to enhance their sports performance. We see it in the world of free diving, where we're training ourselves to hold the breath for a prolonged period of time underwater. We can also use the breath as a way to enhance our voice performance. So it can be used in the arts. It can be used as a way to work with trauma, to use it as a way to deal with conflict resolution. So we are then able to use specific techniques to engage with these specialized practices and really, really dive deep into the technicalities of this. This may not be for everybody. And at the risk of this process being linear, I think it's just helpful to have a starting point and to know where you perhaps can take the next step in your journey. And of course, it's always to come back to the basics in a different way. So rather than this framework being a linear process, or you know, what feels like a linear process, it's more like a spiral, that we're coming back to the basics again, and we're engaging with the basics in a deeper way. So I am hoping that the framework of the art of breathing and this journey of the various levels of progression will be helpful for you in your journey. So here we are at the pivotal point as humanity on the planet. A moment between remembering and imagining. Remembering is to return to the wisdom of our indigenous practices and traditions, the legacy of our shared inheritance, to our bodies, and the wisdom that lies within the coils of our DNA, and to release the personal and inherited trauma that resides there too. And to imagine is to find a way to reweave the broken threads of our humanity, because our future depends on it. So if healing is the conversation between remembering and imagining, then breath is the language. So I thank you all for listening to me today and for being with me today. And so perhaps we can make some time for questions. And I'd be happy to have a conversation with you and listen to how you have received this and what may be sparking for you today. Okay. So I'm quickly going to go through the chat box And let's see what's coming up for us. Okay, so if you'd like to know more about our training sessions, you're welcome to go onto my website, drilamanga.com or breathworkafrica.co.za. Good, so the names of the books, I think, have been put in by Marge Murray. You'll see it's The Oxygen Advantage by Patrick McEwen, Breathing for Warriors by Dr. Belisa Vranich, and of course, Breath, A New Science of a Lost Art by James Nestor. Great. Some practical exercises. Okay, amazing. Yeah, perhaps we have time for a little practice. Okay. So Fiona is asking if there are specific breathing techniques that we could use for addiction. And that's a really interesting question, because I think that, we all have addictions in some way or form, that we have these neural pathways. And that's really what an addiction is. It's a neural pathway of a belief system, a pattern of thinking and feeling and behavior that just gets reinforced over and over and over again. And so the idea then is not so much to break an addiction, but then to create a new neural pathway. And so if we look at the science, the neurobiology of addiction, to move away from the addiction would require us to create, spark up a new neural pathway. And in order to do that, it is about learning to breathe in a way that we would like to feel, because the breath is a language. And so breath is an entry point to create a new neural pathway. And once again, it begins with awareness. How does it feel when I have a craving for a particular whatever it is? And what is the breath that reflects that feeling? How does the breath reflect that? And then to breathe in a way that kind of moves us, just swaps us over to a new neural pathway. And the more we engage with that practice, the more we become, with that neural pathway becomes entrenched and eventually becomes the new software of our subconscious mind, that then we are living from that new place. And the old neural pathway is always there. However, with the tools of breath work and, you know, feeling empowered with breath awareness and certain practices, we are consciously able to spark up and entrench these new neural pathways. All right. So there are many questions that are coming up around breathing for particular, should I say, conditions. And I think that, you know, it's the way that we have been, I think, conditioned to look at this idea of a symptom and then a solution for the symptom. And I think with the journey of breathwork is simply to come back to the basics and to use these practices to rewire our autonomic nervous system to create the conditions for healing to happen. I think this is really the key message here. All that is required for us is to create the conditions for healing to happen. And so when we are able to use the breath to consciously relax, we are activating the parasympathetic nervous system. We are finding a space of safety in the body, and then the body knows what to do. The body knows what to do. And it's about learning to trust the wisdom of our bodies again. And so breath work offers us the opportunity to create the conditions for healing to happen. And yes, of course, there are practices that can help us with certain ways of feeling. There are practices that are helpful for anxiety. But I think once again, it's about feeling into what it does for you. Okay, because for some of us, a calming practice is really helpful for anxiety, whereas for others, a more energizing practice is cathartic. So to play around with these practices and to feel into what these techniques are doing in your particular body is really important. Good. So, I think that, you know, the beauty of breathwork is that it is an embodied practice, that it is something that we consciously feel, that we can sense. It is so visceral. So there are questions coming up about breathing through the mouth in transformational breathing practices. And it's just something that I'd like to clear, because it can be quite confusing, because I'm saying in step one, we should be breathing through the nose in our everyday life. And yes, we should be. However, the transformational breathing practices, many of them require us to breathe through the mouth. And this is important because we are using it in that moment for a very specific period of time. And we're using it consciously for a specific purpose of generating energy in the system so that that energy is able to release the patterns of dysfunction that may be related to memory that is sitting at a subconscious level. So we are consciously using mouth breathing to generate a biochemical and energetic state for the specific purpose of releasing stuck patterns so that we are able to breathe more easily through our nose in our everyday life. Okay, so I hope that that kind of makes sense. Okay, right. So I think we have time for a very short breath awareness practice. And then we're going to be moving into a short energizing practice. And then we'll end off with a really calming practice. Good. So I invite you now just to take a moment to settle into a posture that feels comfortable for you, wherever you may be, either sitting in your chair or you may choose to lie down at this point. Just take a moment to take an expanded breath, and with a soft exhale, feel your awareness dropping from your mind and into your heart, into your body. Feel like the breath is fetching you from the busyness of your mind and bringing you back to the home of your heart, the home of your body. And if you feel comfortable, you're welcome to close your eyes to deepen the awareness of the subtle sensations of the breath inside you, taking a moment to receive the supports of the chair behind you, the ground underneath you, and to relax into that support, to know that in this moment, you are held and you are supported by your own breath, by the earth, and by each other, breathing together in this moment. And now there's no need to breathe in any particular way, just to feel into the subtle sensations of the breath in the nostrils, the subtle coolness of the breath of the inhale, and the subtle warmth of the breath on the exhale. And just be with that for a moment. Feel into the breath as it moves down the back of your throat. Enjoy the gentle rise and fall of your belly as you inhale and exhale. Just enjoying this experience of being breathed in this moment. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, even if it's for a minute. Can you allow this complete surrender into being breathed? And this feeling of the breath in your belly, let that be the anchor of your awareness. The rise and fall of your belly as you inhale and exhale Let this be your still point, the point that you return to, the feeling of home inside you. And so even as thoughts may be rising up and feelings may be coming to the surface, just allow yourself to embrace whatever you are becoming aware of with a more expanded breath, and with a soft exhale, return back to the still point. Inhale, exhale, the rise and fall of your belly, home inside you, your safe space, always with you. And from this place, feel like you are bringing more depth and more expansion to the inhale through the nose or through the mouth, whatever feels comfortable for you. And allow the exhale to be a soft sigh of relief. Beautiful. Now do that again. Long, slow, deep inhalation rising up from within you. Relax and let it go. And as it goes, feel your shoulders relaxing. Feel your neck relaxing. Feel a complete letting go. And do that again. Long, slow, deep. And let it go. Now this time, start to connect the breaths so that they flow one into the next. Beautiful. And keep it moving. Keep it turning. Every exhale, relax into the energy that you are generating with the inhalation. Every exhale, an opportunity to relax deeper. We're going to be doing 10 of these together. A slightly longer one now. And five more. And a last long, beautiful breath. And release and let it go. And take a moment to feel into the sensations, to feel into this energy, to absorb it and to relax into it, to feel every cell in your body alive, awake, to visualize those oxygen molecules being absorbed into your cell, into those little mitochondria, lighting up the strands of your DNA. Now just breathe in a way that feels beautiful. Breathe in a way that reflects who you are, your authentic self, your expansive self that is untouched by any trauma or anxiety. There's a part of you that is whole, the part of you that is free. And it's from this place that with compassion, you are able to embrace all your human feelings, tendencies, habits, patterns. Allow the breath now to be an expression of deep and radical compassion for yourself. Now slowly spending time on the exhale through the nose. A gentle inhale and a long, slow exhale. Now keeping this feeling with you, trying not to disconnect from this feeling of stillness and peace. Very gently bring your awareness back to the feeling of the ground beneath you, the feeling of the air on your skin. Moving, stretching in a way that feels good. Gently fluttering the eyes half open. Slowly breathing in the light. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Ilamenga, for that wonderful session. Wow, what a journey. I really love the connection to the mitochondria and the unbroken chain of mothers. Wow, and then bringing it with the breath. Super powerful. Thank you so much. Everyone is invited to join the next session with Ringo Tulka Rinpoche to talk about an introduction to Buddhist meditation. And also, everybody, please join the private Facebook group that was created for this channel, Meditation and Breathwork. You can find it on Facebook, TEC, Meditation and Breathwork channel. And I think we could put the link in the chat. And the Embodiment Conference Library is available for purchase. If you are an embodiment geek like me, you may be tempted to force feed yourself all these yummy sessions in a short amount of time. But if you purchase the library for yourself, you could digest it at your own time. And it is an incredible gift to us as a thank you and a gift to the world as your purchase makes these live sessions free for everybody else. All right, I have one more question for Dr. Ilamenga. What is your top tip to stay embodied?
Wow, I think it's really to honor the power and the beauty and the miracle of the physical body as a vehicle for consciousness and as an expression of it, and to make space and to open up and to free the body to make space for the breath to flow so that we are able to live from the place of our authentic souls.
Wow, thank you so much. And we have a little bit of time to close this session together. Please type in the chat your number one takeaway from this session. We'd love to see and share. You can put it in the chat. One word.
Yeah, and I also really just want to say thank you to all of you for joining me today. Thank you to the Embodiment Conference and the incredible work that you are doing on the planet, and for offering me an opportunity to share the work that I love so much and that I'm so passionate about.